Praise God. God is just so awesome. You know, we can sometimes, you know, different things affect people different ways. And some people, they look out at creation and they see all the stars and the planets and nature and everything and just, wow, look at all that God made. Or you look at humanity and you think, wow, look what God has done with people. But God is here tonight and God works in such great big ways and does such wonderful, marvelous big things, but he does such little things. And most of the time, probably 99% of the time, Gordon and I, neither one know what we're going to be saying in a sermon, what we're speaking on. I mean, occasionally, I mean, I know he's talking about the Ten Commandments, so obviously we know that's coming up. But as far as details, and just the scripture that Gordon shared this evening ties in with what I want to share tonight, just his comments about our changing and our growing, it all just fits together. And it's like God just can orchestrate little teeny tiny details that in some ways can seem totally insignificant, but yet God is he's piecing together a message for us to hear. So let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 6. Gordon even touched on this scripture this morning, and I thought maybe he might, you know, start messing around with it, but he didn't do too much, so I think we're safe. But Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is sharing a lot of things with the people. We're going to begin in verse 25, start from there. Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." I want to take a look at, we're going to zero in on the lilies eventually. But keep your place there in Matthew 6, and let's just flip to 1 Peter chapter 5 for a moment. A familiar scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." The scripture tells us that we are to be clothed with humility. And that humility is recognizing God is greater. God is the supplier. God is the source. God is God. That we submit ourselves to him. Because it says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. When we think that we're in charge of what we eat and what we wear and what we drink and what we get, when we think that we're in charge of things like that, we slip over into pride. And we put ourselves in a position for God to resist us, because God wants us submitted to him. God is interested in those things for us. But in order for us to be able to enjoy them and receive them, we've got to be submitted to him. We've got to humble ourselves to God so that he can exalt us. And we do that by casting all our care on him. casting all those needs and wants and desires, all those concerns of, well, how's this going to work out, or what, how am I going to get this, or all of these things. We submit ourselves to God. We humble ourselves to Him. And what He's saying here is, you can't do your own life. You can't make your life on your own. You've got to have God. You can't get by making your own decisions and choices and figuring it out the way it ought to work out on your own. You need God. Only God can make you. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. And we're just going to take a look at some things here. First of all, in verses 26 through 29, I just want to look at a little bit of this. It says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Birds can't provide for themselves. Birds cannot go out and plant a garden. They can't do that. They are purely dependent on God growing the trees, growing the plants, providing the streams to drink from for them to have sustenance. They can't do anything on their own. They just fly and have birds. But as far as being able to have their needs met, of what they need to live, only God can do that for them. They don't work and toil and try to make it on their own. Only God can do that for them. Now let's look at verse 27. This is an interesting verse. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now that is a strange question. And I believe it's in another, I think it's in Luke maybe, where it says, if you can't do the least of these things, which is adding a cubit to your stature, how do you think you could do anything else? God really puts things in perspective, because in God's book, in His ways of accomplishing things, adding a little bit of height to your body is nothing. It is no big deal. And we know we can't do that. We can think tall. We can stand up straight. We can stretch and try to separate our bones and get them stretched out. But you really don't add to your height. And He says, you know, if you can't do that, how do you think you could do anything else? How do you think you could take care of yourself if you can't even make yourself grow? Just an interesting thing. So why do you worry about clothing? Verse 28. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And as I meditated on this scripture, I saw something that I hadn't seen before about this comparison between the flowers and Solomon. And when we think of Solomon, we think of all the riches that he had. I mean, he had wealth untold. He was clothed in fine garments. He had everything, amazing things that people would come to see what he had, because God had blessed him so much. He had so much of beautiful royal robes, probably gold crowns, jewels. I mean, he was some kind of king. And yet God is saying, in all of that provision, in all of those natural things, in all of the beautiful robes, in all of the jewels, the crown, in all of those things, he wasn't clothed like these lilies that don't even toil or spin. And I've always, you know, just as I look at that, I always just think of just the natural stuff and just, oh, well, yeah, because, you know, God's stuff's more important than natural stuff. But what I saw in this was the lilies, God clothes them, but they are clothed from within. Everything they need to produce their beauty, their leaves, their petals, their colors, you know, when you think of a flower, everything comes from within. It doesn't come from the outside. All this stuff isn't painted on or tacked on to make. It comes from the inside. And I believe God was saying that Solomon, in all the stuff that he had, and it was provided by God. It's not that it was bad stuff, but in all of that abundance of clothing and jewels and crowns and garments and stuff and peacocks and monkeys and all the things that he had, all of it, in all that stuff, he was not clothed in a way like the lilies. That glory doesn't compare to being clothed from the inside. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about, what are we wearing? He was not clothed from the inside, but lilies are. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're just going to take a look at some, how we're to be clothed. Second Corinthians chapter 3. It's kind of a lengthy passage, but I want to read from 7 through 18. It says, "But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Moses would be clothed outwardly. He spent time in the presence of God when he was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments and getting the law, or just when he was fellowshipping with God and spending time with him. When he'd come down off of the mountain, his face glowed with the glory of God from being in God's presence. But because it was such a stunning thing to see, but then it would begin to fade away, he covered himself with a veil so that the people wouldn't see it fade, because it wasn't from inside. It was from outside. It was just residue that was hanging over him, so to speak, because he had been there for a while. It's like when you've, say you've cooked something that's particularly fragrant, and you've been in the kitchen all day. Well, for a while, you carry that with you. You may not be able to see it, but you carry it with you. But it's just because it's not something coming from inside you. It's just stuck on you from outside. And that's kind of what was happening with Moses. This glory was coming on him from the outside. So it wasn't a permanent thing. It was temporary and it would fade away. But the scripture's telling us here, Paul is telling us that we have a different type of glory. Our glory doesn't come from the outside. Our glory comes from the inside. And as we look into the mirror of the Word of God, as we look into God's face, as we allow God to work with what He has placed in us in the new birth, the Holy Spirit, as He works in our inner man, as we spend time with Him in our inner man, we are transformed from glory to glory. We are clothed with one degree of glory to another. There have been different accounts of people. The one that comes to mind is Jerry Savelle shares about how he was walking through a shopping mall one day, walking through a store with Carolyn, and he's just wandering around waiting on her to do her shopping. And this woman came up to him, total stranger out of the clear blue, and says, you need to pray for me. And he says, well, why would you pick me out of this store? I don't know you. You don't know me. Why would you come and ask me? She says, because God told me to find the person with the glory on them and that they would be the one to pray for me. Well, she could see this glory on him that was coming from inside. Now, we are being transformed. If we spend a lot of time with God, that glory becomes somewhat visible. You can see it in people when they first get born again. Their countenance changes from dark to light. That's their first stage of glory. That general darkness is lifted from their face. Well, the more you spend time with God, the more you grow in the things of God and that glory increases, you can see it more and more. And I believe there's times when I believe it is just supernaturally exposed temporarily for people to see. But I believe there's coming a time when that's going to be an obvious thing. An obvious thing. I haven't studied this out, but the thought that comes to me is in the millennium of the people that live here on the earth, we'll be here, we'll be back here, and we'll be ruling and reigning with Jesus. And they will be able to look at us and say, there's one of the glorious ones. Because we have the glory of God from within, and it comes and it clothes us. We're clothed, we're changed from glory to glory. Moses had an outward glory, but we have an inward glory. We don't need to turn here, but in Matthew 17, verse 2, this is the account of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. What happened there was all of a sudden the glory that was within Jesus and the fullness, I mean, he spent perfect time with God. I mean, he was just walking in perfection because he didn't have any sin at all. That glory manifested naturally so that the disciples could see it. And they were stunned. He became shining bright white all over him. He was clothed in the glory and it became physically visible. He was transfigured. We've talked about it before, but that's the word metamorpho, where we get metamorphosis from. It's changing from one being transformed into another. Being transformed into your glorious being, into your spirit being comes to the outside. It's like when the caterpillar goes into the chrysalis, what's inside transforms and comes out, and you see butterfly instead of worm. When Jesus, you, instead of seeing man, you saw man clothed in glory, the glorious presence of God on him. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 12, a familiar scripture, but these all tie together because as Jesus was transfigured, as this glory that was on the inside of him came to the outside and engulfed him. It just engulfed him. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we read this a lot and we use this verse so that, you know, we can prove the will of God, you know, that we can show what God's will really is for everything and look at that. But this transformed is the same word as Jesus when he was transfigured. When he was changed from just the outward man to the inward man that was full of God's glory, and it clothed him on the outside. And Paul is telling us here to not be conformed to this world, not to just look like the world. And it's in every part of us. It's in our thinking. It's in our whole lifestyle. It's in our whole way of living and being. But he's saying, be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Be transfigured. Let what is on the inside overtake you and begin to clothe you on the outside. And it comes by renewing your mind. Romans 13, flip over a page. Romans 13, verse 14, tells us then, he says, that to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. We are to put on Jesus. Excuse me a minute, I have to check something on my notes. We are to put on Jesus. Just another confirmation of that verse, Galatians 3:27. It says, for as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We are to put on Christ. In another scripture, it might be there in Romans, but I don't have it correct in my notes. It tells us that we are to put on the armor of light. That armor of light is Jesus. It's not just pieces of armor. It's Jesus. He is the armor of light. He is the manifested glory of God. He is that light that God has put on the inside of us that we're to put on. We're to let come to the outside. We're to be clothed with that light. And not so much, don't take this so much as just we're to walk around with glowing light around us. It's not so much that, but it's what is in the inner man. It is Jesus. It is his nature, his character, his power, his strength, his might, his wisdom. Everything about him, the whole life that we have in Jesus is to clothe us. That no matter what we're wearing in the natural, Jesus is just so much more obvious. That you don't even notice the natural. That's what Adam and Eve were like when they were first created. They were clothed in the glory of God. They didn't notice their bodies. They knew they had bodies, but it was just not in the forefront of their thinking because they were clothed in this glory of God. Now, after they sinned and that glory was removed, was taken away, all of a sudden it's like, ooh, we're just this body. They lost their clothing. And too many Christians are walking around without any clothing on. They're clothed in the natural, but they don't have the clothing of the armor of light. They don't have the clothing of Jesus on the outside of them. And they're naked and exposed. And that's probably could be some of the reason why so many things don't work for them. Why things just go wrong all the time. Because they're not clothed with their protection. They're not clothed with their inner man. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Again, these all just build on one another. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 24, or we can start in 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Here we're going with the renewing of the mind again. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We are to put on the new man by renewing our mind. We are to put on true righteousness. That means we have got to know where our righteousness comes from and what it is. It's not a nice word that we can tack on to our name or our list of qualities. It is our right standing, our rightness with God. It is what Jesus was with God because we've been made righteous with his righteousness. We need to put that on. We need to know that we have right standing with God all the time. All the time. Even after you sin, which you shouldn't do. But if you do, and you are a believer in Jesus, you are still righteous before God. Committing a sin doesn't take away your righteousness. Because your righteousness is by faith in Jesus. It's what he has given us. But we've got to walk in it. And so many times we don't. We sin. We live in condemnation for a while. We use that then as an excuse. Well, I did this, so this isn't going to work, and blah, blah. You know, we just wallow there. We're naked. We're not dressed. We're not in our righteousness. We're not letting it cover us and keep us like we need to be. We're not letting it send us right back to Jesus and right back to God to just get rid of that sin, to get rid of that condemnation that's messing with our mind, to get that out of our life so we can stay right with God. Ephesians 6, we'll just flip over to there. As we renew our mind to things, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 17. This is a very familiar scripture. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." This is a familiar scripture. We use this primarily as this is our prayer armor, because when we go into intercession and we're dealing with all these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, we're dealing with all these demonic forces. So we have to have this armor on for proper prayer. And yes, we need the armor for proper prayer, but we need to live in this armor. And it's more than just pieces of stuff. I mean, we can use that as a visual aid to put on, but when he says, take up the whole armor of God, having girded your waist with truth. Well, you can go through motions of, you know, I gird my waist with truth, you know, I put on the belt of truth, the belt of truth holds the other implements, and you can go through all that armor stuff, and that's great, and that's fine, and we've all probably done it at one time or another. But the important thing is we have got to be girded around us with truth. We have got to know the truth. And the only way you can know the truth is you have got to abide in the Word of God. Because when you abide in the Word, when you're obedient to it and you live in it and you feed on it, then you'll know the truth. You can't just go read a scripture and say, okay, that's my truth for today. You got to know it. You got to know it. You got to be bound around you. You have got to be clothed with truth. True things. True things about how God reacts to you. What God thinks of you. What God thinks of sin. How he deals with or dealt with sin. We've got to know these truths in order to be able to stand. Because if we don't live in them, they won't help us. If they're just words, we've got to know the truth. And then it says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. As I said earlier, we got to know what righteousness is. We got to know it's that right standing with God. That you can go to God in any condition. Any condition. You can have just committed 40 zillion sins, which, you know, might be a little tough to do. We can do a lot, but... but you can still go into the presence of God and you're right with him. You're right with him. It's because it's what Jesus has done. But we've got to know this. We know it intellectually. And if we reason, if somebody reasons it out with us, it's like, well, yes, okay, I know that. But if we don't know it in our being, if we are not clothed with the truth and the knowledge that we are right with God, no matter what we do, we will not go to God when we do something wrong. We'll shy away. We'll let condemnation push us back and we'll draw back. And God is not pleased when we draw back. It doesn't bother. He doesn't want us to sin, but it doesn't bother him if you come in there with a sin, if you come in to get it off, to get cleaned up. He's totally willing to clean us But if we don't have that clothing of righteousness, that knowing that righteousness, we won't operate properly in our relationship to God. We won't do it. Then, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we have got to know what the gospel is. We have got to know what the gospel is. The gospel is not just, well, you don't have to go to hell, you can go to heaven when you die. That is a piece of it, but that is not the gospel. The gospel is you can be changed. You can have the life of God put back in you. You are dead, and you need to be made alive. And we need to know that for others, to be able to share with them. We need to be able to share with them how their sin isn't what's separating them from God. Those things that they do all day long that's wrong isn't what's keeping them apart from God. It's because they haven't received Jesus and don't believe in what Jesus has done. That's what's keeping them separated. But if we don't know that for ourselves, we can't properly really explain that to someone else. We can just teach them, well, you need to go to church. You need to be a good person. And it's more than that. We've got to know what the gospel is. We've got to be prepared with what the gospel really is. That's part of our clothing. And then taking the shield of faith. Faith is that confidence in God, that no matter what dart comes at us, we have confidence in God. It's not that we know how to say the right confession or go through the right formula. It's we've got confidence in God. That even if we don't have a word on it at the moment, because we know God and we know what He's like, we know He's got a fixer for it somehow. You know, He's got a way to fix our problem, even if we don't know what the way is yet, because God always has a way. We know about God. A shield of faith. And then the helmet of salvation. Just being saved. We talk about the helmet protecting our mind and keeping those things out of our mind. But we have got to know what salvation is. It is deliverance from temporary evils. Salvation is not going to heaven when you die. Salvation is deliverance from temporary evils. The heaven part is, it's an element of it, but we can't limit it to that. It is deliverance from temporary evils. That means whatever temporary evil you're dealing with is temporary, because it's here. And everything here is temporary, because everything's going to change. Everything's going to be made right. We're going to get glorified bodies. Everything's going to be fixed eventually. But until eventually comes, we have got temporary evils all over everywhere. And we have got to know how to be protected from those. We have got to protect our mind and our thoughts and not let those temporary evils change how we think about God, change what we think about the Word, change how we see ourselves. We can't let that happen. And then naturally the sword of the Spirit, that's just the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. You need to be so full of the Word of God that in every circumstance, in every situation that something comes up, the Word of God that answers that just pops right up inside of you. Just comes right up in your mind. And that is so frequent. That is so frequent. When you're sharing with people, that should be, you know, a lot of times it just sort of happens in special moments. But it ought to be just a regular thing. It ought to be just, I mean, it's just like if you trip on the sidewalk and stub your toe, there ought to be a healing scripture that just floats right up to the top of you immediately, that just reminds you of where God stands on that and what you have and what belongs to you to meet your need. We've got to know the Word. We've got to have these things on the inside of us so they can come to the outside. But we've got to nurture them from within so that they can come to the outside, so that they can begin to clothe us, they can begin to be activated on the outside of us. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We've got to be clothed with Jesus. Colossians here tells us, in verse 10, says, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We are to put on the new man. We are to put on Jesus. We are to put on everything about Jesus and everything about God that they are. All of their qualities, all of their characteristics, we are to put those on. They live in us. They are inside of us. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, this relates to this section here in Colossians of putting on the humility, the meekness, the long-suffering and all those things. We have a scripture that tells us about that in Galatians 5, 22. It tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. This is the fruit of our spirit man. This is what we can put on. We can cultivate these. They're in us, but we've got to draw them out. We have got to be in the Word and know that they're in us so that when situations that require these things happen, we draw on them. We draw on them. We keep feeding them. We keep meditating on them. We keep growing in it. We develop in our understanding of the truth of who we really are. You know, one of them that just gets a lot of attention is patience, because, you know, everybody has this tendency, oh, man, do I need patience. And then it's always out there somewhere. It's like, boy, I could use some patience if I could just find some. Well, it's in here. It's just like that lily and the petals that develop. It's on the inside. It's in here. We've just got to develop it and let it come to the outside and clothe us. And as we let these qualities develop and clothe us, that's what people are going to see. Just like in the natural, they might notice, you know, your shirt or if you've got new shoes on or something. In situations that you happen to be in the same place as them and say it requires peace in a particular situation, or maybe even this patience, or maybe self-control in a situation where, boy, it would be just really easy to just lose it and go wild and you don't, they're going to see that adornment. They're going to see that piece of clothing. Just like you might ask them what you had on, you know, 10 minutes ago, and they can't tell you unless it was something that attracted their attention. Then they might remember, oh, I remember that shirt because I really liked the color of it. Well, they'll like these qualities. They'll remember these things. They'll see these things in spite of all these other things. They'll see these pieces of clothing on the outside of us, and they'll be attracted to them. But it's God's character, God's nature, and he's inside of us. And he wants us to feed those things. He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Renew the way we think. That these are who we are. We have these things. We need to cultivate these things and let them come to the outside. Let them clothe us with the glory of God. Because the glory of God is God's manifested presence. I need to go back and see if I can find my notes, because one of the very first sermons I ever preached in the fire hall was about the glory of God, that it was a manifested presence. And I look back on that and think, how did I know that back then? I didn't know anything. But it's the glory of God is his manifested presence. And it does many things, and it creates many situations. But the glory of God is his manifested presence. That's what was on Moses' face. It was the manifested presence of God that just hung there from being with God. But God has put that on the inside of us. He has filled us with his glory, with his very presence. That's what's on the inside of us now. And it can come to the outside. It can manifest on the outside. Just like Jesus was transfigured, and just let that all at one time come to the outside, and it was this beautiful white light. Well, I'm not saying to go around trying to make yourself look like a white light, but just let Jesus come to the forefront. Let him come out. Let him be what you do, what you say, how you act, how you live. Let it be his way, because we have to humble ourselves to God, because we just can't do it. We can try to be nice. We can try to be patient. We can try to be long-suffering. We can try to be joyful. We can try to be these things. We can try to be kind. But if we're just trying to be those things, some people can push you till you get to the end of your supply. We need God's supply. And if we can't even make ourselves taller, we certainly can't make ourselves nice. And we can't make ourselves kind or gentle or joyful. We can't do that. We have got to humble ourselves to God inside of us and let him develop and come to the outside and clothe us. Not just in pretty clothes and jewelry and all those kind of things, but just as Gordon mentioned at the beginning of the service, just the teaching of our parents, and Solomon's referring to the teaching of the Word of God, the truth. They become an ornament. They become a decoration to us. They become beautiful things on the outside of us that are attractive to other people. And they'll draw people to Jesus. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Just a couple scriptures left here. 1 Peter chapter 3. We need to be clothed with Jesus. This is a word that can really apply to anybody, but it's directed at the ladies. 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. He says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart." That's what we've been talking about, letting our inner man, those things in the inside of us, come to the outside. "With the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." He's saying, let God inside of you come to the forefront. I mean, it's okay if you fix your hair and you wear your jewelry and your pretty clothes and all that kind of, it's okay for all of us to do that. But he's saying, but let the hidden person of the heart be the biggest adornment you have. Let that be the final piece of clothing that's on the outside that is just so much more beautiful than all the pretty things of the natural. Let that hidden man of the heart and that quiet spirit come to the forefront. Last scripture. And this, I found this one interesting from my message from a couple of weeks ago when we talked about good works. Do we remember what good works are? They're works of what? Works of faith. They're the works of power. They're the supernatural works. They're not just the being nice part and helpful. They're the supernatural part. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. And here again he's talking to women, but I really think it could apply to everybody. "In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing." He's saying, don't just let that be what attracts people to you. "But which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." He's saying, be adorned with good works. When we walk in the supernatural power of God, that is part of our adornment, part of our clothing, part of what we are to be covered in. And when we walk in that kind of power, it's going to get people's attention. People that have that kind of power, when they walk down the street, people don't notice their suit or their shoes. They know they got power. They can lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. They can cast out devils if you've got a devil problem. They can do supernatural things to help. They have the power of God. And he's saying, don't just let your adornment be with clothes and stuff. Let it be good works. Let it be that supernatural work of God. So we need to be clothed with God. We need to be like the lilies. We need to be clothed from the inside with all the goodness and greatness of God that He has placed in us. He has put it all inside of us in Himself, and He's saying, feed that, nurture that, renew your mind, begin to think like me. And the way we think like Him is we take this word. God says, my word are my thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And I send them down to you in the form of my word. That's how we get God's thoughts. He speaks to us. He tells us His mind. He tells us what's on His mind. He says these things to us. And He's saying, renew your minds. Take my thoughts and plant them in your mind and drive out any other thought that doesn't line up with my thoughts. Let my thoughts be your thoughts so that we can be one, so that we can think alike, so that in any situation, we already have God thoughts. Instead of when a crisis hits, we don't run through 14 things in our head of, well, what? Maybe I should do this, or maybe I should do that, or maybe I should do this, or what about this? We know what to do because the answers are already in there. We have renewed our thinking. It's not just memorized scripture. Memorized scripture is great. That's a good thing. Praise God for memorized scripture. But it needs to come from in here. It needs to come from in here. It's not just facts stored in your brain. It's the things from our inner man that come up, that renew us, that we become arrayed like the lilies of the field, that we're not just like Solomon. Solomon was a wonderful man. I mean, he was a great king, and he had a lot of wisdom from God. That's why God gave him all the stuff, because He said, God, if You just give me wisdom so I can be a good king and do things right, that's what I want. And God says, great, I'll give you all that, and then I'm just going to give you a bunch of stuff too, because I just love you, and I'm just thrilled that you just wanted wisdom. That's just so neat. I just love that about you. So He did all that, but He said, but even in all of that, He wasn't arrayed like that simple little lily, because none of that was coming from the inside. It was all just things that He was operating in with an anointing on the outside, but not from the inside, because He still wasn't born again. He still had to wait till Jesus came to get the life of God actually on the inside of Him. He conformed a lot of things on the outside, but you know something about it? It didn't last. He had a lot of good stuff, wrote a lot of wonderful things, had a lot of wisdom of God, but he couldn't hold on his own because he's not a man filled with the Spirit of God. And he got a little weak, and he got a little interested in his women, and they convinced him to do other things and look at other gods, and then he got all messed up. And he didn't end up glorious like he was to start with in his heyday when things were really going good. Because we can't do it on our own. We have to humble ourselves to God. We have to let God do it. We have to let Him be the supplier of all these qualities and all this life and all these good things. We have to let Him build it in us as we yield ourselves to Him, as we humble ourselves and say, okay, God, You show me what to think. Show me what to do. Tell me what I need to know. And it's in here. He'll give you instructions, specifics, personally for you day by day. But there's plenty of it in here that we can find to build in and feed on the inside and allow that life of God to come out and clothe us from the outside so that we can be beautiful to all those around, that they can see Jesus. We'll be adorned with Jesus, clothed in His glory. Amen? And stand up. Praise You, Jesus. Glory to You, God. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. Is there anyone here that would like prayer this evening for anything? I just want to offer that opportunity because we got to walk in good works. So if we need anything, we want to do that. Praise You, Jesus.
She's having an ear infection all summer, and she sees a specialist on Tuesday.
Okay. Well, praise God, Jesus took that ear infection. Yes, he did. Can I touch your ears? Will it be okay? Okay, I'll hold your pen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just speak to those ears and that infection, and we curse it and just tell it to just leave her body right now in Jesus' name, to just get out of there and take out every bad thing. And if there's been any damage done, we just speak healing and soundness to her hearing, that it'll just be perfect, just like you made her, in Jesus' name. Praise God. You are healed, sweetie, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Anybody else? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that you have adorned us like the lilies of the field. You have placed within us your glory, your very self, your very nature, your character, everything about you, everything about Jesus that was manifested in the earth. You've placed your Holy Spirit in us. You've given us everything. You have withheld nothing from us. You have come to live inside of us, that we might be clothed in your glory, that we might be changed and transformed from glory to glory to glory, that as we grow in you, as we grow in your word, as we grow in wisdom, as we renew our minds, God, we are just changed and changed and changed and changed, and more and more and more Jesus covers us. He clothes us. We become hidden in him. And it's no longer just a nice truth that we read in the Bible and a nice phrase that we can say, but it becomes reality that we become hidden in him. We become invincible to the enemy. We can stand against anything because we are clothed in the armor of light in Jesus Christ himself. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this. We thank you that you help us grow in it and change us day by day. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.